Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When I imagine Moby creating music for a new album, I think of a guy sitting in a studio by himself. Because throughout his career, Moby has proven that he's the kind of guy who really can do it all. Write lyrics, compose music, play a bunch of different instruments, do it across a wide variety of genres, from dance music to rock music to metal, what have you. But for his latest album, called Innocence, Moby enlisted the help of others. Many others, like Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, indie rock songwriter Damien Jurado, and this young Canadian musician known as Cold Specs. That's a little bit from Innocence, the latest album from Moby. Today, we spend the whole hour with Moby and friends. We'll hear more about the album and some of the songs that shaped his early years. First, though, let's hear some live music. Moby has brought his band to play some songs, old and new, here in the Soundcheck studio. He's not touring behind this new record, so today's show is a rare acoustic peek into this new collection of songs. On this first performance, you'll hear Moby's frequent collaborator, the singer-songwriter Kelly Scar, taking the lead vocals. Moby's at our piano. The song is called A Case for Shame. It's Moby, live on Soundcheck.
Set you up for swallow my name, swallow it down, sing me a song. Shoot the breeze, shake my head, cross the fire, I caught your stare, sing me a song.
That is Moby and his band live on Soundcheck with a song called A Case for Shame, which is from the new record, Innocence. You heard Kelly Scar doing lead vocals, playing guitar, Iyeng Bassi doing some backing vocals, Claudia Chopek on violin, Moby at our piano, and they'll be joined by harmonica player Darren Murphy here in the Soundcheck studio as well. Let's hear another song, again, from the new record, Innocence. This is Almost Home.
Hard.
Almost Home, a new song from Moby, featuring vocals by Kelly Scar and Iyang Bassi here in the Soundcheck studio. Claudia Chopek on violin, Darren Murphy playing harmonica, Moby at our piano for the first couple of songs, though he'll be picking up a guitar and doing some singing for us as well. The new record is called Innocence. Moby, it's good to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
So this is essentially the same group that you brought to our green space downstairs a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So the songs on the record are kind of lush and cinematic, orchestral. They strip down really nicely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, is this sort of how you wrote them?
Most of the songs, were just written either with guitar or piano. And I've had this ongoing sort of problem throughout my career is because I grew up playing guitar, but then really fell in love with electronic music. Mm-hmm. And so started making very electronic-based records. And then I'd go on tour and be utterly incapable of playing them live. Because they'd be so studio-based. Or you'd get invited to do something like this. And, how do you, recreate electronic music acoustically? So lately I've been sort of, writing the songs with acoustic guitar and then adding all the sort of electronic elaboration on top of it, which lends itself to being stripped down better.
So a lot of the songs have a kind of, I don't know, melancholy, kind of nostalgic. That last song, for sure, has a kind of tinge of nostalgia to it. Was that kind of a theme running through?
I guess. I mean, I don't have a lot of objectivity when it comes to me.
But when you're done with a record, I mean, I understand when you're in it, you know, you're just kind of plowing through. But then when you have a chance to step back and say, oh, I did that? I mean, we hear artists say that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of it is, and maybe I know this might be a bad thing to say, seeing as we're on WNYC, but I was born in Manhattan on 148th Street.
That's not a bad thing to say.
This is the preemptive part. But then a few years ago, I decamped and I moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And because I'd lived in Lower Manhattan, honestly, for 30 years.
Right. And I mocked you on the air for that last time you were here, so I'm not going to do that again.
Feel free. Go ahead. Mock as much as you want. You can especially feel free to mock in February.
Yeah. when you're sort of lolling on your beach chair in the backyard in the sun.
As I'm sitting by the pool, reading my copy of The New Yorker that has some Eric Drucker cover art showing people freezing to death in the subways. So I moved to L.A., and as you know, L.A. is this big, dystopian, odd city. I mean, L.A. County is the size of Belgium, and there's just a vastness to it that, having grown up around here, I wasn't used to. And there are a lot of things I love about L.A., but I don't know, in a way, some of the sort of wistfulness on the record might be a combination of, just the human condition, but also sort of I don't want to be a complainer, but feeling in some ways almost like I was pushed out of the city of my birth, because I thought I would live in New York forever. And then I woke up a few years ago and realized that it didn't, in a way, didn't feel like home anymore.
Have you read David Byrne's recent article?
I did. He wrote for The Guardian, was it?
It was for The Guardian and for Creative Time here in the States, where he basically says, I came to New York for the same reason all these other people came, because there's this creative ferment and it requires, a cost of living that's affordable. And his fear is that, the city is becoming inhospitable to emerging
artists.
And
when I come back to New York, it's still it's the most dynamic, beautiful, remarkable city in the world. But unfortunately, I don't want to just join in the chorus of naysayers, but it has become much more a city for the already established. Whereas when I was growing up here, it was a place where you could come from anywhere and find cheap rent and find other artists, other musicians, other writers, tons of cheap galleries, cheap bars, anywhere to sort of ply your craft. And now I feel like it's the place where people come who've already had tons of success elsewhere. And I don't know. So a few years ago, I did feel sort of like I didn't feel that comfortable in the city of my birth. And so I moved to L.A. because L.A. is big and weird and real estate's relatively cheap. And
is
there's
it?
A whole bunch of oddballs there.
Mm-hmm. And Hollywood.
Yeah.
Some very highly paid oddballs.
Yeah. And often, because I'll do interviews and people say, why did you move to L.A.? And I'm like, I can answer it. in two simple statements. One, it's warm in the winter. Two, David Lynch lives around the corner from me. Like, what more could you possibly want?
But you were able to work with David Lynch while you were still working here and living here in New York.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you didn't need to live next to the guy to work with him.
But it is nice. Like, I mean, I had Christmas at David Lynch's house a couple of years ago, and he's just like the nicest person in the world. So I found myself like having Christmas at his house, you know, like eating vegan food and just thinking to myself how odd and remarkable it is that you get to sort of hang out with your heroes.
And then you come here and you hang out with Kelly and Yang and the rest of the gang. How do you guys not smack him?
Why?
I was having Christmas at David Lynch's house.
He's too far away. Yeah.
Also, I'm little. They know they'd probably hurt me.
Now, Yang is one of a number of sort of guest vocalists doing lead vocal work on the new record. Would you say this is the most kind of collaborative record you've done yet?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had guest vocals on my record.
Right.
But in this case, I actually wanted to, like, normally when I've worked in the past with guest vocalists, they've come into my studio and sung parts that I've already written. And in this case, the way it worked was I would write an instrumental and send it off to someone like Damien Jurado, whose vocals I really loved, and just see what he would come up with. So it was almost like, do you know there's a surrealist game called The Exquisite Corpse?
Right, where you write a couple of words and then
hand it off to someone else, they only see the last word that you've written. They sort of like continue on from that.
Right.
You end up with, or like you draw something like a head, and they only see the two lines of the neck. So making this record was kind of like that. Like I would make an instrumental and keep it incredibly simple and stripped down and send it off to someone and they would send something back and then I would almost rewrite the song based on what they had done.
Mm-hmm. So that really is a very different way of working.
Yeah. And I also had a producer for the first time.
Who's that?
This man, Spike Stent. And he has had such an odd career. When he was really young, he worked on things like Psychic TV and then mixed and helped work on a lot of the early Massive Attack records and Bjork records. But more recently, he's been known for more of a pop producer because he's worked with No Doubt and Madonna and U2. But I wanted him to be involved in the record more based on the like Psychic TV, Massive Attack stuff that he'd done in the past.
So the resulting album is called Innocence. That's innocent, plural, as opposed to innocence, as opposed to guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the innocents of the title?
Well, it's tricky because if I give my answer, it potentially goes really long. I find as I get older, I just have longer answers to everything, kind of like Grandpa Simpson. So the short answer is the innocents are everybody. Because I look at the human condition, you know, we're alive for a few decades in a universe that's 15 billion years old, and we're all baffled. And, like, everything we do is some sort of coping mechanism, you know, dealing with, like, the existential void that we know awaits all of us. And we either ignore the void or fill it with celebrity pop culture or drink a lot or do a lot of drugs, but it's all these coping mechanisms. And I think that by definition, we can't be aware of the significance of our lives, the meaning of our lives, because we're alive for such an infinitesimally short time in such a vast universe. So that's who the innocents are. It's basically all of us, and which doesn't, of course, excuse bad behavior.
Right.
But even like the worst behavior is some sort of dysfunctional form of coping. Can you tell that I moved to L.A.?
Cause I was just going to say, like, so moving to L.A. so you can be by the pool in the winter, is that a coping mechanism, Moby?
Yeah, so I sit by the pool in the middle of February and just think about the existential void that awaits us all.
All right, go sing a song. Moby's here with us in the Soundcheck studio with his band, and we're going to hear another song from the new record called Innocence.
I have an idea. This song involves a choir.
Yeah, big chorus on the record.
I was wondering
record.
If all, there are a bunch of people sitting out there like Laura and my goddaughter Mona, and Sarah. And Dave, you guys want to come in and...
Come on in, yeah.
Come on in.
God, baby.
Do they know the words?
They don't necessarily know the words, but that's okay. The words are pretty simple. And John, if you want to sing along as well.
Do you want people still listening by the end of the song?
And so the chorus... is,
oh my God.
I know there's Mona. I know radio is not a visual medium, but there's...
Oh my God.
Mona's what? Maybe not even a year old?
So if you hear crying during the song, it's probably me.
Yeah. The song is called The Perfect Life, by the way, if and when we get to it.
The chorus is just, oh, we close our eyes. The perfect life is all we need. So everyone, even camera people, you guys want to sing, you're welcome to sing. Okay.
Slipping far away with the world at your command. You sing me to sleep and then you hit me awake. It's a perfect life, a perfect life. I only wanna be here when you're by my side. Oh, I believe now you love me till I die. You will sing me to sleep and you will hit me awake. It's a perfect life, a perfect life. Steps everywhere, he's got knives in his pockets, bullets in his hair. He has nothing to live for, nothing left to say. He's locking all the doors to keep the older wolves at bay. All spoons and foil are all he needs. A bed and some china, a lighter and some speed. It will sing you to sleep, but it will hit you awake in a perfect life, a perfect life.
We close our eyes.
That's Moby performing live in the Soundcheck studio in a version of the song The Perfect Life, which appears on his new album, Innocence. On the album, it's a collaboration with Flaming Lips frontman Wayne Coyne, here in our studio, featuring a sort of ad hoc choir of friends and musicians, our video team, and Moby's infant goddaughter. By the way, you can catch the video of this in-studio session on our website, soundcheck.org.
This is how we tried. This is where it died. This is how we cried. Like the dogs left outside. We were so cautious, guarding our losses viciously.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're spending the hour with Moby. His new album is called Innocence, but of course, there are lots of previous records with huge big hits. One of them is the song Natural Blues, and that's what we're going to hear in a stripped-down, unplugged performance here on Soundcheck.
But God, don't nobody know my troubles but God. Went down the hill of the day, so got happy and stayed all day. Went down the hill of the day, so got happy and stayed all day. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. But God, don't nobody know my troubles but God. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. Don't nobody know my troubles but God. Don't nobody know my troubles but God. Went in the room, didn't stay long. Looked on the bed and brother was dead. I went in the room, didn't stay long. Looked on the bed and brother was dead. But God, don't nobody know my troubles but God. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. Don't nobody know my troubles but God. Don't nobody know my troubles but God. Oh Lord, in my troubles so hard. Don't nobody know my troubles but God. don't nobody know my troubles but God.
Natural Blues from Moby's 1999 album Play in a stripped-down acoustic version here in the Soundcheck studio. And Moby and the gang have one more song to play for us. This one is from the last record, Destroyed.
Sort of, tangentially.
Tangentially.
It's a song called The Poison Tree, and it came out as on one of the versions of the last album, Destroyed, but it was also part of a David Lynch project. A musical project that he put together to benefit the David Lynch Foundation, his meditation organization.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an amazing, very dark, strange remix of it. But the version we're going to do is not dark or strange. I mean, it's strange because it's me, but it's...
All right. So The Poison Tree?
Yeah.
From Moby.
Darren's going to go crazy on the harmonica.
Look at all, life is gone away. My sweet love is gone away. My sweet love is gone away. My sweet love is gone today now. Look at all, life is gone away. My sweet love is gone away. My sweet love is gone away. My sweet love is gone today now. Oh, my baby, oh, my love, oh, my baby now. Oh, my baby, oh, my love, oh, my baby now. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh,
Poison Tree from Moby and his band live on Soundcheck, and Yang Bassi and Kelly Scar, Darren Murphy, Claudia Chopek, all with Moby here in the Soundcheck studio playing for us today some new songs, some old ones. And Moby, you know, hearing your pick three of songs from that like late 70s, 1980 period, I just grabbed something real quick, you know, before coming into the studio from that same period. Did you know Mink DeVille?
Band? Willie DeVille.
With Willie DeVille. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always felt they were like one of the bands that came out of the CBGB's era that did not get the kind of acclaim that they deserved.
Well, there was that period, like 78, 79, 80, 81. Like, my friends and I would come into New York, and you would read, like, New York Rocker magazine and Village Voice, and you would see ads for all these shows, and you see pictures. Because the thing about, like, Willie DeVille or Mink DeVille, like, he looked amazing.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, seeing pictures of him, and he looked like such a rock star. But then you realize, like, he was a rock star to, like, a few hundred artists in Lower Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like you'd see every now and then see someone like him or like the guys from the Rock Cats like walking down St. Mark's Place, and you'd be like, oh God, they're like the biggest rock stars in the world. And then you'd remember like, well, except that they play shows for 50 people.
Right. So it's like the old Phil Oakes song, you know, outside of a small circle of friends.
Yeah.
Well, but we were in that circle, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in it as a scared 16-year-old who snuck in on the bathroom at Metro North.
Yeah. Well, I just thought, you know, as long as we're reliving those days, I'd play a little Venus on Avenue D for you to wrap things up.
That sounds perfect. Do you remember, by any chance, what ABCD stood for back then?
Wow, yeah.
A was alcohol, B was blow, C was crack, and D was death.
Death, yes. Yeah. Right. Those days are long gone.
I'm sure you could find crack somewhere in the East Village.
Yeah, you could probably find death too.
But probably like free range crack or something. Like artisanal crack made by ye old crack makers somewhere upstate.
In a shoppy upstate in Hudson, New York or something. Mm-hmm. Moby, it's always great fun having you on the show, whether hosting or guesting or playing or just talking. And you did a little of everything today.
Yeah, so. Well, thanks. This is really fun. Thank you so much.
Moby, my guest on Soundcheck. You